Hallelujah, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Good to see you. Welcome to St. Timothy. One of the quick things before we begin downstairs in Bible class, we were discussing the news that came out from the CDC on Thursday. So that's something that we're going to talk about as a church, I think, this next week. And see what the Washington guidelines are going to hold and if anything comes out with that. So right now, we're going to continue sticking to what we've already had in place and sticking with masks, of course, and distance. But I know the news that came out on Thursday is kind of changing a lot of that. So just stay tuned as we start listing those things and kind of figuring it out. It's still pretty fresh. So just wanted you to know. I don't think I have anything else before we begin. Today is, we're observing the Ascension of our Lord, which was on Thursday. But we're going to observe it today when Jesus rose up and ascended into heaven. And so that's the basis for our message. This is the seventh Sunday of Easter before we begin the season of Pentecost, which is also the season of the church. And one of my favorite seasons to think about and reflect on for us, obviously, because it's part of the church. And the church is great, and we are the church that are living out in the world with the Holy Spirit as the body of Christ. And that's fun to contemplate. So, with that, let's begin by singing our first hymn found on our first page of our bulletin.
Thank you.
Please be seated for our reading. Our first reading is from Psalm 47. We will read this responsibly. Clap your hands, all peoples. Shout to God with loud songs of joy.
For the Lord the Most High is superior, a great King over all the earth.
He subdued peoples under us and nations under our feet.
He chose our heritage for us, the bride and shade of whom he loves.
God has gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet.
Sing praises to God, sing praises. Sing praises to our King, sing praises.
For God is the King of all the earth. Sing praises with a song.
God reigns over the nations. God sits on his holy throne.
The princes of the peoples gather as the people of God of Abraham. For the shields of the earth belong to God. He is highly exalted.
The first reading for the Ascension of our Lord is from Acts chapter 1. In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up, after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. To them he presented himself alive after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which, he said, you heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle is from Ephesians chapter 1. For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you. What are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints? And what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe? According to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand. And that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple blessing God. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly set in the heavens. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
In the name of Jesus, amen. It used to happen often for me. I'm sitting in the theater after enjoying a good movie, and I'm caught staring at the credits as they roll through, and oftentimes I'm with my friend, and we're usually discussing the movie we just saw, and sharing our thoughts over what the story they told and the things we liked about it, the performance of the actors, the soundtrack that was used, and the way they chose to edit the film. We like to talk about films and movies, and so we enjoy that little bit right after to focus in on some of the qualities that came through as the credits roll. And oftentimes, we're so focused on it, we don't notice everybody leaving, and usually the last person's gone. When we finally receive the signal or the cue to finally leave and get up and go, because the theater staff shows up and the cleaners are there, and we realize this is the signal, we got to get going. And so we pick up our things and leave, and usually the conversation will change to what's coming next. You know that experience, though. Maybe not in the movie theater, maybe you don't do something like that, but certainly maybe a place like this, where it's the end of service, and you've been focused on the rhythm of worship and slowly making our way through the rituals and songs, and then we get to the end. And maybe your focus is left before then, but you're waiting for the signal to leave, for the cue to leave. Because the worship is over, but you know you can't just immediately get up and go. You have to wait for that signal, whether it be what I say or when the piano or organ starts to play. You wait for the signal to go and carry on with the rest of your day. I would say the disciples had a similar experience. But this time, they've never gone through an ascension, so they didn't know the correct protocols or signal to move on to the next thing. It wasn't very clear to them. But it seemed they weren't ready to leave, for they were just there listening to their Lord. And Jesus was declaring to them again the promises he was going to give of the Holy Spirit to come. And you can imagine for the disciples listening intently, because even after 40 days since his resurrection, when the Son of God, the Lord of creation, has something to say and is teaching you things, you hang on to his every word. But then you can imagine as they listened that Jesus' words started to sound distant and above them. And Jesus started to rise up and ascend before them. And as he's rising, he's moving into the clouds. And the disciples are focused in, probably staring, trying to find the spot where they last saw him. But then they stare a little too long. They're waiting for a clear signal. I mean, they just saw this marvelous thing. You don't just leave something like that immediately. And you don't know when's the signal or cue to go. I mean, the kingdom of God just floated away. So you'd probably be staring too. They were pretty focused in, caught up in the moment, and they were glued to what just happened. Until two extra guys show up. It was the two extra men that showed up, and they didn't come to clean up after, but they certainly came to give the signal and the cue to move on. Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? What are you doing? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven, he'll come in the same way as you saw him go. It's time to move on from here. I think the immediate application that comes to mind for us is far too easy. Because we could possibly look at worship and as our time in church, as this time looking and staring and focusing in on our prayer and contemplation, and that our time of fellowship is like looking into the skies, but then we're told to get back to business, to go back to regular, normal life. That application is far too simple and just not true. Certainly, there's reasonable amounts of time that we ought to be spent focused here and looking and staring in awe of what God has done for us. But to think we're not engaging in the real life and the real world here, and that the real business of life is somewhere out there, that would be a wrong application of what's actually going on. I think what's going on in our text and for us is far broader and far more encompassing, because reality comes here too, and it joins us in the pews, and it weighs on us in our fellowship and conversations. No, I think what's going on here for us is our whole experience of where we put our focus and where we look, where we stare, and we need someone to give us the signal to move on from things that have passed, from trite and insignificant and inconsequential things. Because we have a tendency to look on and focus on some crisis, some marvel, some person or some event for far too long than is allowed. And sometimes we let it influence other parts of our lives. Too often you're drawn to the inconsequential areas of life that you have zero control over. You and I focus heavily and for far too long on things that are already past and no longer deserve our attention. We find ourselves maybe drawn and dwelling on an event like when a car cuts you off and you can't stop getting it out of your head, or when that person in your life sought your advice, you gave them good counsel, and yet they still decided to do the opposite of what you said. And maybe it's something like the way that person from long ago who hurt you in one way or another, and it eats away at you. We can be consumed and dwell on the events and news items that bother our own understanding of reality. But then we begin to focus on the things that are marveling, yet not altogether helpful for our daily lives. Once those things start to consume us, it becomes the only reality we see in the rest of the world. And the things that really matter begin to fall to the wayside. You see, when we focus and look at things that are just long gone or are out of our control, it brings confusion, chaos, and disorder to our experience of the rest of the world. And certainly starts to damage our own relationships with those near us, with those who are right in front of us and who matter the most. Perhaps you're like me and you look and stare like the disciples did to see where God fits in all of it. But the Lord has already rose above the clouds and the time's already passed and we're unable to see him. Yet you're unable to move on, to focus on somewhere else and to give your attention to what comes next. Because that thing from before, it still is holding on to your attention and consumes everything you believe. You and I need someone to give the signal, to give us the cue. And that's what the two men do for the disciples. The disciples are there at the ascension as Jesus is lifted up and disappears in the clouds, craning their necks, probably, looking and trying to find the spot where they last saw him and saw their Lord above. And the two men are sent from God to give the signal. Why are you looking into heaven? This is the end of the ascension. This Jesus is no longer there, but he'll come again in the same way. It was time for the disciples to go and to move on. And they knew it. But they didn't go confused and unsure of what was to come next. Instead, they knew what they'd been promised. They received already the instructions and the commands that were given by Jesus himself. For it was a few days later that it's on Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came and rushed in, filling them with the understanding, the knowledge, and even the languages to prepare them for what they are to do next. And that's when they began to speak and declare and proclaim. And they wouldn't stop. They wouldn't be quiet about it. Because after the events of Pentecost, they moved on to declare the truth of what had occurred, of what they had seen, and the marvels they experienced in Jesus Christ's life and work to restore the creation. They told the truth of the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and they witnessed to the reality of what God has established and what he had made known. They didn't go back to their normal lives. They didn't go and return to the ordinary ways of living. Life had been turned upside down for them, and their reality was now encompassed by the work and life of Jesus Christ, who died, rose, and ascended. But it was not focused on where Jesus once was, but where he is today and where he will be. The point that is being drawn out of the beginning of Acts and with the ascension is not to look for Jesus in the clouds. The point for us is that we should not be consumed or drawn to trivial things that don't actually matter to the reality we experience today. For the author Luke tells us at the beginning that he wrote down and gave to his friend what was shown and revealed, what Jesus had done and taught until the day that he was taken up, and through the Holy Spirit his commands went to the apostles, and he chose to speak and witness to the kingdom of God through them, through his church. The point is we're not to continue staring up into heaven. Not to stare at things that don't matter. And don't let the pains and sufferings of the past consume the reality that God has brought you in today. The point is that Jesus has shown you where he is today. Where he has promised to be there for you. He promises in the water, in the bread and wine when we eat and drink. That's where he is. He's not up in the sky. But he's right here. In his church, in you, in all of you. The disciples witnessed that reality. And not only in their words, but they did it in how they lived. And it changed everything for them. Their life was consumed by the reality of Jesus Christ and what he had brought to them in the forgiveness of sins and love toward the things that do matter. You are brought into God's reality. And if you're looking for the signal to move on or to stop focusing on the trivial, confusing, and unfortunate events from the past, here is the message. Don't get caught up looking at the things that don't matter. Don't be consumed looking on too long to what is in the news or what's out of your control. Don't delve in your own self-satisfaction or efforts to put your happiness above others. There's no need to look for God in those areas of life that are confusing. For God has told you where he is. He's right here in his church. He's right here for you. Where the Spirit of God makes known his presence and reveals to you the places he's promised to be. In baptism, the Lord's Supper, in the hearing of his word, you find him right here. Don't look anywhere else. Bring those unfortunate realities of life in here with you. And let those trivial things that consume your thoughts be taken care of by the Lord, who promises to come back and renew and restore. You're able to move on, but not back to normal life, but to a new life. To witness not only in your words, but in how you live as one who's claimed by the Son of God. In his name, you've been baptized. And it's in his name that you continue to live. Let the Spirit that he sends to you and showers over you with the promises he gives, continue to manifest in your daily lives. And let your focus be on matters of today, on the persons and the relationships the Lord has given you to care for. May your days not be defined by what's out of your control or already happened. Let them be engulfed by the reality that God has put you in. One is his child, and one is his beloved son or daughter. May your lives be a witness to that reality. In Jesus' name, amen. We continue by singing the last two verses of our hymn found on page 7 of our bulletin.
Thank you.
let's make confession of our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
We continue with the canticle. Please be seated.
Thank you.
prayers. As you're able, please stand. Rejoicing and living in the truth of his victory for us. Merciful God, hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, your Son has commanded us to go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Bless your church that many may believe and by our lives of service witness to your reality. Merciful God, hear our prayer.
Lord, our protector and Savior, look in mercy upon those suffering persecution for the sake of your name. Many have been forsaken even by father, mother, and friend. Take them into your keeping, hear their cries, and do not let them be afraid. Merciful God, hear our prayer.
Lord of all nations, it is your will that we pray for all in authority. Hear our prayers on behalf of our President, Governor, Congress, Legislature, and judges, and that they be wise and effective in their offices. Merciful God, hear our prayer.
Gracious Father, keep us from hardness of heart and unbelief. Help us, by your Spirit, to believe the witness of those who saw your Son after he had risen, and to joyfully recline at table with him on that day. Merciful God, hear our prayer.
Holy Father, accept the prayers we offer through your Son, our Savior, and keep us forever in your name and word, that we may be one, just as you are one. Merciful God, hear our prayer.
O Lord, as believers in your Son's name, we call on you to deliver Major, Wayne, Sandra, Pastor Black, Joyce, Sharon, Sylvia, Thurza, Alex, Debbie, Bella, Ava, and Esther, and all who suffer in our midst from sickness of body and mind and every other power of the enemy. We also lift up your beloved sons and daughters who cannot participate and gather as your body, especially Sanda, Barbara, Millie, Sylvia, Gertrude, Mary, Thurza and Jim, and Alex. Keep them in your truth and use us as your body to assure them of the promises you give. Merciful God, hear our prayer.
Holy God, your Son has ascended to sit at your right hand until you make his enemies his footstool. Fix our eyes on him, ruling in the midst of our fallen world, that we may not fear them, but abide in his peace. Merciful God, hear our prayer.
Lord God, Heavenly Father, we here remember the sufferings and death of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, for our salvation. Praising his victorious resurrection from the dead, we draw strength from his ascension before you, where he ever stands for us as our own high priest. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us, for to you alone we give all glory, honor and worship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Almighty God, as your only begotten Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, ascended into the heavens, so may we also ascend in our hearts and mind and continually dwell there with him, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, you have safely brought us to the beginning of this day. Defend us in the same with your mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings, being ordered by your governance, may be righteous in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with you all.
Amen.
We sing our final hymn, Beautiful Savior. Please be seated. Saturday. Men's breakfast is meeting at 8:30, so every guy that would like to participate.